Mankind has been duped into believing that following all of God's laws, all of the statutes, all of the things that the Bible completely opens up to God's people, that following that kind of level of Christianity, of God-fearing lifestyle, is burdensome. According to man, the Bible, as the Bible would completely describe it, as we understand it, well, those laws are situational. They're applied to certain times, or maybe it was culturally based, or possibly Christ did away with a lot of those laws. Now, while we might agree that ceremonial laws, because there is no tabernacle, or there is no temple, are no longer in place, they cannot be applied to the fundamental tenets of Christianity, the Ten Commandments. Now, I don't want to get into that level of that argument today, but even the Ten Commandments, those basic tenets of Christianity, of following after God, people, well, labels burdensome. But you know, you cannot, and this speaks to my kind of point today, you cannot find success in following after God if you don't keep those commandments. If you aren't willing to use all of the tools that God has provided for us to get to know Him. You know, it'd be like somebody pulling a hammer out of a toolbox and picking and choosing some of these and deciding, well, I can complete all jobs with this hammer. But what if you had to fix a broken watch? That particular tool wouldn't apply. You know, God's law must be seen as a whole. In conjunction, each of those laws, all of that that we read through the Bible, works together. It builds upon itself in order for us to complete our journey into God's family. You can't partially follow after what God has given us as examples through all of His prophets, through His very Son, and expect to reap all of the rewards, possibly not any of the rewards if you are only partially following God. But you know, those who do use a partial tool set will find the road difficult at best and most likely impossible to achieve, to reach. You know, the world by and large ignores the commandment to keep the Sabbath. For them, that path is blocked in understanding. It's not attainable for people who deny the Sabbath presently. What about some of those groups that do keep the Sabbath, but still ignore some of the other rules, specifically in idolatry? By obeying men instead of God in keeping pagan holidays, in bearing crosses, in doing those things their partial denial of the Ten Commandments, close their mind to really understanding and reaching God. And you know, all of those that keep and understand the Ten Commandments, as God's called out ones, as you and I, brethren, we are given even further tools to refine our understanding through those examples that Christ set forth for each and every one of us. Because His examples help us refine, it helps us perfect ourselves, and plunges us into the subtleties of the Word of God, as Christ points out in Matthew 5 and verse 21. Those subtleties cannot be achieved unless we have God's Spirit working directly with us. Matthew 5 and beginning in verse 21, this is Christ speaking. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry against his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Those that fail to understand the finer points and the more subtle aspects of that specific law of not killing somebody, not killing your brother, are going to find themselves wandering in darkness, especially in this world. And their road is going to be extremely difficult to stay on. 1 John 2, so we keep delving into this specific topic of love of a brother. 1 John 2, and beginning in verse 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Those of us that can't see those subtle and those exemplified points that Christ brought out to us are going to be walking in darkness. And the fact that only those that really understand God's true law through his Spirit, if we are walking in darkness, we are in jeopardy of walking into oblivion. You know, the finer and the more precise our understanding does become in our Christian path, the greater risk, as I mentioned, we incur by straying from it. For those of us that have been called out, if we stray, like I said, we walk into nothingness. We will not exist in God's kingdom. And Christ was quite clear in his expectations. For those that have been given these tools and this wisdom of understanding, Matthew 18, Matthew 18 and verse 6, and this is Christ speaking as well. But whoever causes one of my little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Even causing an offense to a little one, to somebody weak in the faith, is showing a hatred to your brother. And it's better if that person had not lived, if that person had not been born, as Christ himself showed. You know, the magnification and the deeper understanding of the law, as revealed by and through Christ, necessitates our honing of the skills we have been given more thoroughly. But that shouldn't drive us away from the desire to keep honing our skills, just because there is a bigger condemnation for those that, once we have been given the Spirit, if we fall from it. Because that is the only way we can really have a true relationship with God, is by honing those skills, by developing our tool sets so that we understand not just the basic, those 10 tenets, those 10 laws we've given, but understand the real meaning behind them. Because our problem is that we don't always use those like we should. Ecclesiastes 10:10, reading out of the Amplified version. If the axe is dull and he does not sharpen its edge, then he must exert more strength. But wisdom, to sharpen the axe, helps him succeed with less effort. And if we spend too much of our time trying to gain understanding, too much time trying to gain just simple knowledge, we will fail to grow in wisdom. And we aren't going to know how to use that knowledge that we're so readily trying to gain correctly. And our road to salvation will be fraught with difficulties. Taking time, as that we read in Ecclesiastes, taking time to really hone our wisdom, to sharpen that axe before we go out and try to gain knowledge and wisdom, is going to make this so much easier. And gaining that wisdom can only come from God, only come from a relationship, a deep relationship with God the Father. You know, Christ was very direct in the importance and the consequences for not loving our brothers and sisters. And he didn't stress this point to his disciples, to those that listened to him, because people figured this out on their own. It's because we naturally, without God's Spirit and God's wisdom guiding us, without using those tools that we have in this Bible, we don't show love correctly. Proverbs 27:17 states, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." You know, these tools of understanding were meant to build up and help not just ourselves, but to help others, to show love for our brothers and sisters, not to divide us. You know, we will not receive an inheritance if that is how we are using these tools. At baptism, we were given a unique and a rare tool, which is God's Holy Spirit. And the onus then falls on us to actually use it, to develop that tool. In John 1, verses 10 through 13, reading out of the Amplified Bible again, saying, "He, Christ, was in the world, and though the world and through the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, and those who were his own people, the Jewish nation, did not receive and welcome him. But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the right and the authority and the privilege to become children of God. That is, to those who believe in, to adhere to trust in, and to rely on his name. Who were born, and this is the key to deciding how we're going to use these tools, of what we are being born into and what we are doing with those tools once we have them, once we have that Spirit of God within us. Who were born not of blood or of natural conception, nor of the will of flesh, of physical impulses, nor of the will of man, that of a natural father, but of God, that is, spiritually transformed, spiritually renewed, and spiritually sanctified." You know, brethren, we are being transformed through every action and every thought. Let us make sure that transformation is into the children of God.